it's here and now. And if you ever take the subway or the metro or the T or the L or whatever, you're in one of a long chain of subway cars overstuffed with rush hour riders. Well, elsewhere in the world, cities are trying to better their trains with open gangways. Here to explain is Yona Freemark, a city planner at the Metropolitan Planning Council in Chicago. His blog is The Transport Politic. Yona, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's start with, what is an open gangway?
So an open gangway is the idea that train cars can be connected together through openings. Now, in some cities, that might mean walking the length of eight cars without having to open one door. And this is actually pretty common in cities all over the world, except for in the United States.
Yeah, I saw them in London, on the tube in London. I saw them in Paris. Why don't we have them here in the U.S.?
So this is an interesting question, and I've asked people at transit agencies to give me some explanation, and there are a variety of ideas or explanations that people give me, but I think that fundamentally the biggest problem we have in the United States is lack of adequate funding for our transit agencies, and as a result, lack of adequate willingness to take risk by the managers at those agencies. In other words, they see what's available in front of them. They see how their transit systems operate right now, and they don't change that because they're too risk averse.
Well, let's talk about why they made the change in these other cities around the world. And I have to imagine one of the big reasons is simply to fit more people onto the trains, because if you just have one long train, you don't have to worry about the space in between the cars that goes unfilled.
That is exactly right. It's hard to believe, but the fact that cars right now on subways around the United States have gaps between them, have those doors between them, actually reduces the capacity of the train by 10% or more, which effectively means that we're wasting space that could be filled up by passengers. Now, in cities like New York, Boston, Chicago, San Francisco, places where the subways really get filled up at peak hours, allowing people to walk between the cars and fill up that space standing there while the train is going can actually increase capacity quite significantly and reduce crowding.
And also make the train safer because you don't have people walking in between the cars, which is not a safe thing to do.
That's exactly right. I mean, you can look at some statistics from the New York City Transit Authority and see that some people die every year because they fall out of the train when they're walking between the train cars. But another thing is perceptions of safety. Late at night, when you're stuck in a train car by yourself or with just a few other people, it can sometimes feel a little unsafe. But opening up the corridors between the train cars can help people feel more safe and feel like there's somewhere to go in case they feel threatened on an empty train.
On the other hand, I can see the flip side of that, which is you're on a train car with somebody who you don't want to be on a train car with, and there's no escaping that person. You can't just go to the next car over and get away from them.
I suppose that might be true, but the experience in other cities around the world suggests that that concern doesn't seem to be playing out.
How much more expensive are these cars?
Well, here's what we know. When we compare the cost of acquiring new trains in European or Asian cities with those in the United States, and when you compare the trains with these open gangways and trains without them, they appear to be basically the same price. The one potentially expensive change is that because the train cars would be physically connected to one another, they might need to actually change around their maintenance shops to adjust for that change. And that's something that would probably result in a one-time expensive proposition for these agencies.
And would you have to take the entire train out of service if there's a problem in one part of it, or do they come apart at the points where they connect with each other?
So yes, you probably would have to take the whole train out of service, whereas today it's more feasible to take individual cars out of service. However, talking to people who work at these transit agencies, usually when they have a problem with one car on an eight-car-long or six-car-long train, they do end up actually taking the whole train out of service, not decoupling the individual car anyway. So it's not actually that big of a change.
So I'm going to make a wild guess based on the fact that all these other cities are going with this model, and it does seem to make sense for the reasons that you've been talking about, that at some point we'll get a car like this in the United States, one big long subway train that is just open and it's just one car the whole way. Which city is going to have it first? New York?
So the city that's going to probably have it first is Honolulu, which is actually in the process of building a new metro elevated system right now. That will be open just in the next few years, connecting downtown Honolulu with the airport and some other areas in the city. And those trains will have these open gangway, train cars. However, those are not the traditional metro, the metro trains that we experience in places like San Francisco and New York City. For those, we're going to have to wait on those agencies buying new trains that would have these open gangways. And the reality is we have a lot of possibility for that. New York, Boston, they're going to buy new trains into the future. And from what I've heard, at least New York City Transit is considering that possibility.
That's Yonah Freemark, a city planner and project manager at the Metropolitan Planning Council in Chicago. He writes the blog The Transport Politic. Yonah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And look at that, some Hawaiian music for the train that's going to grace the streets of Honolulu soon. Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. Aloha, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here Now.